Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's Comic Book Club. Please give it up for your hosts, Justin Tyler and Pete LePage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Comic Book Club. Thank you for coming out. I'm Justin.
Oh, I'm Pete.
Ah, nice. Thanks for sneaking around. Pete LePage, our announcer, known for his smoky undertones.
That's right, yeah.
He's got a lover's voice, so fall in love tonight with our male Delilah, Pete LePage.
I don't know what that means, but all right.
Well, Delilah is a rock DJ, soft rock, that is often on very late at night, and a lot of people are like, I'd like to request a song for my husband who's a trucker. And that's what happens.
Oh, okay.
You never listened to that growing up?
No, I didn't.
What did you do growing up?
I murdered people.
Great.
Yep.
Bodies yet to be found.
That's right, yeah.
People, a child that murdered adults?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow, you were...
Grown-ass man. I had to challenge myself. I got tired of dogs and cats.
And here you are hosting a podcast.
That's right.
Wow, that's a real dark image to start a show with. you never saw Johnny Carson admitting to a sociopathic crime before he came out and did a show.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know, says Pete, the dark child. You know what? Let's get the show going.
Can we please?
For God's sakes.
Yeah.
It's great to have you all here, and it's great to have our guest here.
Yeah.
This gentleman is a performer at the People's Improv Theater. Please welcome to stage, Sean Reedy.
Reedy.
so many extra vowels in your name. I got lost in there. thank you for doing the show.
Hey, thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Always a pleasure
for having
to have
me.
You. You're a repeat guest.
That's right. This is, I think, my fourth time.
Fourth timer. That's great.
Yeah.
We have a very exclusive five timers club.
Just
like Saturday Night Live, you get a jacket. Celebrities come on the show.
So I assume I'll never be on again.
No, that's it. No one's ever made the mark.
Okay. That far. Well, that makes sense.
So congratulations. So you're doing a ton of stuff at the People's Improv Theater.
I'm on a improv team there called The Duke, and then we just wrapped up. I'm part of a group called We Love TV. We put on new shows or new episodes of older TV shows. And we just wrapped up a run last week before, and we're coming back in September. We've done The Muppet Show, Twilight Zone, 30 Rock, Parks and Rec.
Nice. That's all across the board.
Yeah. Now, break it down. Is it improvised? Is it like when people
It is completely it is scripted. So it is, despite the name of the theater, it is, in fact, scripted.
The PST.
Yes.
The people script.
Now, are you just going from old scripts of the actual show, or are you writing them yourself?
Brand new episodes, and usually, and we do three nights. Every night is different, has a different opener, The show is the same. So, like, Thursday night, we always have a band open. Friday night, we have a panel. And then Saturday night, we have prizes and trivia. So, like, on Friday night, this past time with the Muppet Show, we had the president of the Jim Henson Legacy was on the panel.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And in the past, we've had Josh Gondelman, who writes for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah.
And when I did the Twilight Zone episode, I got to interview Rod Serling's daughter, which was...
Whoa, is she weird? Does she wear a suit?
She did. She wore a suit and smoked the whole time.
Yeah, wow, nice.
She insisted on doing an opening monologue before the show.
What does she do for a living?
She's actually a writer, but she's a... Whoa, there we go.
She's a novelist.
Novelist, yeah.
Okay, well, that's still pretty cool. Does she write scary novels?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
Self-help? Do it yourself?
well, the one I read was about her relationship with her father. But then she's also written, like, fictional, but yeah, not scary ones.
Okay. What's the next show you're going to do?
We're actually redoing, by popular demand, The Muppet Show in September. So
wait, you already did that?
We already did it, but we spoke with the AD of the Pit, and he requested that we do that one again because he liked it so much. Hates all of our other shows and said...
Yeah, he's like, I've let these guys on a long leash for too fucking long.
Yeah,
it's time to rein them back in. But you're going to do a different show.
It's a rerun. Hey!
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Ironic that there's a brand new Muppet Show coming to ABC this fall, and you're doing a rerun.
That's true. This one actually does do, it's the format of the old show. So it's like the variety show. We do the old sketches like Veterinarian's Hospital.
Oh, nice.
Pigs in Space.
Pigs in Space.
I love Pigs in Space.
Yeah.
Grew up on that.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Did I see you played Luke Skywalker in a William Shakespeare production of Luke Skywalker?
That is correct.
What does that mean?
So there's a gentleman who wrote, and I believe now he's written even the prequels, but who gives a shit about that? He wrote all three of the original Star Wars, in like Shakespearean prose. Mm. And so each one had its own book. And so we did a reading kind of in conjunction with the publisher at the Pit. And I was pulled in, not last year, year before, they did like a casting. And then we did one, and then they brought me on to like help produce the other ones.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I'm indeed Luke Skywalker. So playing that, and then in the Muppet Show, I play Kermit the Frog. So I'm really like crossing off bucket lists of like 5-year-old Sean.
That's just huge. That's all your influences. I mean, maybe presumptuous, maybe.
No, that's it. Just those two.
Those are the only two influences you have.
You're
good.
Yeah.
Oh, great. And today you're sort of playing Alex Zelvin on the show, who's not here today.
I have two children. Is that how many he has?
Yep. So that's great. Yeah. So far, so good. Checks out.
Great. Nailed it.
You're
nailing it so far.
Better job than Alex.
Yeah, he often gets his children's names wrong.
Yeah. Leave some places. Remember when we left that kid at your house?
Yeah.
That was
raised
crazy.
It.
You still have that kid, I was going
to
say.
Raised that child. Yeah. Changed its name to JT Jr. JTJ. Well, great. Well, let's move on to our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do. We like to call it that.
Please. Thank you so much, folks. In The Stack, we pick some comics that came out this past week, and we talk about them, we debate them, we go to bat for them.
That's right.
We fall on our swords for them sometimes.
Sometimes.
If that's what it takes.
And sometimes, like Zelbin, you quit reading comics.
Right. Okay, this isn't a roast of Zelbin, because he's not here. Oof. He also has a first name, which you should learn, Alex.
What? That's his first name?
Yeah, I know. It's a big surprise.
Weird. That doesn't go with his last name at all.
Let's talk about our first comic here. First pick, Pete's pick, Chew number 50.
Yeah!
Chew. Still,
come on!
Still chewing.
Guys, you should be reading this
don't
comic.
Don't make the audience clap if they don't like your book.
That's true. you guys should be reading this, though. It's really funny. It's an amazing book.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well,
a
this
lot.
Is...
I don't read Chew regularly, so to see this, I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
Who that?
Well, this is a real huge buildup. Basically, the whole series leading up to this. Really amazing, heartfelt payoff. Really amazing stuff. I don't know how to describe Chew. Otherwise, it's kind of... He's like a cop that eats food and then has powers.
That's like all people, really.
Yeah.
We have regular powers by eating food.
I always wish I could... it was like Gauntlet, you know, where you would run around and you eat more food and then you could kill more things.
So
much killing talk.
When Pete gets stressed out, it takes it to a dark place.
Yeah.
He's dressed all in black.
This has been, it's very humorous, very creative title, and a lot of things happen in this issue that have been like, Ponyo is this badass chicken who just like beats
I'm
people.
I'm listening.
He fights people, he dominates, he wins. So this gentleman, there's a fancy word for what he is, where he eats something and then gains their power. So he has to eat Ponyo, which is kind of a sad moment in his life. But then he gets these badass powers and is able to take on the super boss at the end. And I feel like a lot of great things pay off in this issue for people who've been reading along the way, and some really touching kind of ending stuff. It's just been an amazing book, and it made me so happy reading this 50th issue.
It is amazing to me. I'm not a regular reader, like I said, that this sort of seemed like a gimmicky concept. Really does have, in this issue, great like emotional underpinnings, and it goes on to be it's a very sad sort of ending to me.
Yeah. But powerful and really well done.
Yeah, no, powerful. And this book will continue, though.
Yeah. I hope so. Jesus.
What's he going to eat next? Because the whole, it's all been building up to the chicken.
Well, not really. I mean, the chicken hasn't been in since the beginning.
But it's the beginning. This is like the bookend of the chicken meal. And so he's got to move on to a dessert or another course, if nothing else.
Oh, my God.
But a chicken's more of a main course, so I don't know what's after. Maybe there's some sort of palate cleanser.
Like an aperitif?
Yeah, maybe a little drink, a digestive post-meal. French service is important.
You guys are very fancy people.
I'm not because I got it wrong. So,
but the word is very close.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because aperitif sounds like after, so that's why
does,
I always I have to make
that
mix because I'm like, oh, I will have an aperitif. Oh, am I drunk already? Okay, I won't have anything then.
Where do you guys eat at, like, restaurants?
It's called a restaurant where they often, like, there's a chef that cooks the food.
I've been to restaurants and no one asked me if I wanted a teef afterwards.
A teef.
Well, you're eating at places with drive-thrus, and I think you need to try a restaurant with chairs.
What's wrong with drive-thrus, bro?
Nothing. They just don't serve digestives or aperitifs.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
so
I know.
It's a kind of liquor?
It's a French. The French. I'm glad I'm explaining this on the podcast because this is great for everybody out there. Yeah. This is how you like have a good, good meal, a good multi-course meal. You start the meal with an apéritif, a little cocktail. Get the conversation going. You know, if you're with strangers, you want to open up. You want to talk to Sean. Sean, how do you pronounce your last name? Great opening question. I wish we had apéritif.
It's great.
Yeah,
great.
Maybe if you got here on time, you could.
Okay,
done that.
Great. See, if we had an apéritif, I would be like, Pete, shut up! Don't say that on the show. But we didn't have time for that.
Yep.
Then you have like an amuse-bouche.
What the fuck?
That's like a first taste. Something to that translates. I mean, your name is French, right, so you should know this.
This no.
Le Page. It's not the Page.
How much is this meal going to be? I mean, this seems really fancy.
First of all, this is an imaginary meal, so don't worry about paying for it.
What kind of restaurants do you go to?
You're such a dad. You're just like getting mad. You're like, how much is going to goddamn cost? Like, I'm going to charge you at the end of this conversation for $100. I'm not even full.
This seems so weird
then
to me that you would go to a restaurant. You haven't even eaten anything yet.
You have a first course. Often. In the French style, it would be something very light.
I can't take this.
You go on. You have your entree. Then you have something to cleanse the palate, or perhaps a glacé.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And then you move on to a dessert, which is a tart, perhaps, or a piece of a tart. Before the dessert, in the French style, you have the salad. After the
really?
Entree. Yeah.
I bet I did not know.
I dated a French woman for many years.
Wow.
And then dessert.
Sounds expensive.
And then after, it was expensive.
Yeah.
Did we eat well. And then after dessert, you have your digestif.
Wow.
Which is what helps you digest.
Digest
and that's another cocktail. And then you're wasted.
Wow. Thank you for that.
It sounds like a great meal.
And that's what we have time for in the snack. that's our favorite section because you guys chew it up. It's the snack. Great. So great comic. But, I mean, of course, when you talk about chew, you're going to talk about a meal. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
Let's see what other cultural topics we get on in our next comic. Let's talk about Action Comics number 42. Yeah, okay,
all
great.
Right. Yeah, nobody. How does that feel, asshole?
Okay, I don't know. What do you mean? Are you talking to me or Superman?
I'm talking to you because you got your pick and nobody clapped.
So in this comic, Superman is he has been depowered for the most part.
All right, can we talk about that? He keeps saying, like, I don't have powers, and then he's doing things that normal people can't do. Like, you can't not have powers and then pick up this giant steel girder and throw it through the eye of a dog demon.
For Superman, he may as well be depowered, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He's so used to, like, moving moons and shit.
Yeah.
That, like...
Yeah, but that's... You can't go around saying, I don't have powers, and then do stuff that makes me think you have powers.
Sure.
Yeah, but Pete, let's say you lost 4 fingers. You'd be like, man, I was depowered, but you still have all those other fingers.
What does that?
That's what happened to Superman. Superman used this new power where he shot a big spark, sort of spark from the old X-Men game, like Colossus used to, the X-Men arcade game.
Oh yeah,
it blasted it out, and he was depowered, but he still has some of his powers. In the same way that you didn't lose all your fingers yet.
Well, yeah. So you shouldn't say that like I'm depowered. It's like I just.
I'm having
less,
a bad day.
Yeah, I have less powers right
now. If Superman came up to you and was like, I'm having a bad day.
Buy him a beer.
That doesn't make for great comic book writing, I feel like.
Oh, well. Anyways. it kept saying, like, oh, I don't have my powers. I don't have my powers. And it's like, really, Superman? Because it kind of looks like you do.
I did want to know what his strength level was, right? Like,
well,
that was my...
I agree. It is a little confusing.
Right.
In the comic, he says, I'm nowhere near as strong as I used to be.
Right.
And he gets hurt a lot. He, like, breaks a rib, cracks a rib, I think, in this.
Yeah, yeah.
And can he only now... Is his only, like, real powers, like, super strength and semi-invulnerability? And, like, that's it?
He can jump.
Right. But he can't do, like, heat vision or any of that.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
I think the idea here is that we're exploring it along with him.
Right, okay.
He's trying to figure it out.
All right, well, I'm lost.
So in this, Superman has returned to Metropolis. His identity has been revealed. Everyone knows it's Clark Kent. A lot of people are very mad at him, the cops. A lot of people in his neighborhood are very happy that they know that their neighbor's Superman. And I think this is super fun. This is Greg Pak, Aaron Cooter on the art, which is, the art's amazing in this. It gives Superman a different feel. He's like a bulkier dude. He looks like a prize fighter. And I think that sort of goes along with this t-shirt clad look and a guy who's just trying to figure his life out.
Yeah, just a guy in t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, no, just like me right now.
Yeah. And wait, you. Are you Superman?
Huh? I mean, I don't want to say anything, but I feel like my powers are...
Okay.
Where's your powers at right now?
They're medium.
So if I punch you in the face, you would...
You would not enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, it would hurt my
strong
hand.
Strong jaw, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, I didn't think about that. Maybe I'll have a couple more beers and then punch you in the face.
Okay, good. Then you can forget about it.
So I just feel like this is... the fact that this comic is happening a little bit, and it's like Superman's having issues with cops, and it's like we are having issues with cops, so I feel like it's a good kind of art reflecting life a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think, and there's a lot about being a pacifistic protester here, and I think that's that stuff is very cool, I thought.
I feel like never trust the guy who brings a bat to, you know...
A bat fight?
Yeah, just to sit in, you know what I mean? Just to be like, hey, listen, we're not going to do anything, guys. Don't do anything with the cops. Then there's the guy with the bat.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
He wasn't like, oh, nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to take this bat for no reason.
That's true. I agree.
Yeah, he wasn't like a baseball player. Just like happened to be walking
out of
the
stadium. Yeah, he wasn't just
coming
from
like
a softball game.
Which is what they do, right? They walk out with the bats.
Baseball players always have a bat in their hand. Otherwise, they're not doing their job.
Yeah.
See, that's why I always have a microphone in my hand.
Oh, that makes sense.
Everywhere I go. But I liked all the characters really cool here. I like this take on Superman a lot. And I don't usually read Superman, so I'm happy.
I am enjoying Greg Pak's run on this very much. I also thought it was like a real great kind of last page, like, oh, shit moment where he punched that cop in the face.
That's trouble.
It felt great, though, to watch him do that.
Yeah, because you hate cops.
Well, I think a lot of people hate cops right now.
I thought you. Well, he also broke his aviators, which I thought.
Yeah,
was cool.
Which you know.
And you hate sunglasses.
You're a big fan. Wait, no, he hates them.
He hates sunglasses. So
I do
see
hate
Superman
sunglasses.
Punch him was just like yes.
Because I have real glasses, so I can't wear sunglasses.
Right. You can't wear sunglasses.
Yeah. You can get prescription sunglasses.
Yeah, you can.
Who's got the transitional lenses?
Who's got that kind of money?
I don't know.
Some people.
Some people do have that. Do your lenses change?
No.
Oh.
Normally I wear contacts though.
No.
And then sunglasses.
So you geeked it up for the show today?
No, I'm actually getting LASIK on Friday.
Oh! Big reveal. That's terrifying to me.
So I will actually be repowered.
You're getting reverse heat vision.
You're getting
shot into your eye.
Which actually sounds like a terrible idea when you say it like that.
Yeah, it does sound like a terrible idea.
It has always terrified me, but I hear that they're good at it now.
And I also just realized now I'm wearing a Daredevil shirt. Hopefully that is not a portent of things to come.
Oh, man.
Don't wear that when you go.
Yeah.
Because the doctor would be like, this guy seems like he's going to be fine if I blind him. So,
wait, is he hoping I blind him?
Well, if he thinks you're going to be all
right,
he's like,
what? Yeah.
This city could use a peacekeeper. Let me make one with these lasers. Let me remind you all that I, as always, have perfect vision and do not need any sight assistance.
You can't just let it go one time.
Okay, let's move on and talk about this next book, Secret Wars number 4. Now we got some fans out there. This, of course, the Marvel epic. Have you been reading this, Pete?
Nope.
Okay, great. Sean?
I read 1 through 3, so this is all new.
So great. You're so close. This comic is great.
Yes. Really?
Yes. I like it. This issue especially, we finally get to see some of
is
the...
Is everybody still dead?
Actually, there are more people alive than before. There are other versions of your favorite characters living and hanging out.
Because there are multiple worlds.
Yeah. Well, there's multiple realities slammed into one world.
Wait, is this
world.
A DC comic?
No, no, it's not. It's by the Marvel Institute.
Oh, weird, because usually I thought the annoying multiverse shit was just strictly DC.
Well, it's not anymore. This is it's a whole new world out there.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyway, that complaint aside, there's a lot of great – all the characters sort of coming at each other. You got Dr. Doom. We're seeing some weakness from him. We're seeing some – Doctor Strange has some great moments in here. It's really fun. I feel like we're finally starting to see some collision. I mean, this is Jonathan Hickman has been working toward this story for like over like 2 years. So to finally see the final fruits of this coming into focus is very exciting.
Plus, I think he writes Doctor Doom so well.
He does. And Reed Richards.
Yeah, I mean, because I loved his run on Fantastic Four, so to see him take those characters again is great.
Yeah.
It's very exciting for me, personally.
Oh, nice.
There's this great line where Doctor Strange says, cause in this issue, Reed Richards is revealed to Doctor Doom to be on this new Earth, even though Doctor Doom is the god here. And Doctor Strange is like, "You're still scared of Reed Richards." And Doom is pissed.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great moment.
Cool. So you're saying it's worth the three shitty issues that came before this?
Those weren't shitty. Did you read them?
I read number one, and that was enough to stop reading.
Oh, so you that's tough. It's a tough thing to respond to.
I just think it's hard to watch all your favorite characters die and then be like, okay, great, I'll just keep reading.
I got to give it to you, Pete. You're always a comic book reader who lives in literally the exact moment. When that last page lands,
yeah.
You dwell in that darkness for 1 month. You're living month to month, page to page.
I am.
You're really living up to your name.
Hey.
Because, Pete. Honestly, all these people are going to be back. Just go along for the ride. You know?
Well, plus, I mean, now that Marvel had the solicits out, and pretty much all the characters are going to be there. It's do whatever you want.
Pete, you know
what? What are we going to get? Are we going to get these side versions of the ones we like?
You're going to get Old Man Logan, who you like. That's like a fun uncle you get to hang out with.
Old Man Logan because I knew it wasn't taking away the real Logan. Like, I could enjoy Old Man Logan because it was a side project. But if you kill Logan and then give me Old Man Logan, you know, that's not as exciting.
Yeah, but when the Beatles broke up, you could either listen to Wings or not.
What?
Like,
the band Wings.
The band Wings.
The
Wolverine
TV show.
Died.
No, not the TV,
TV
show
Wings. I love the TV show Wings.
I mean, come
Wings.
On. I mean, Sandman's in there.
I worked for Roy Biggins, the real-life actor, as one of my jobs. First jobs in New York City, I was his personal assistant. David Schramm is the actor's name.
Someone hired you for a personal assistant?
It was crazy. He would give me tasks.
How quickly were you fired?
I worked for him until he moved away. But he would say things to me like, maybe we're a little off topic in this episode, but he would say things to me like, Justin, there's this peanut butter I like down at Peanut Butter and Company downtown.
God.
Would you mind getting me a jar of it? How long will that take? 5 hours?
Yes. Yes, it will.
And he lived like 30 blocks north of it. And I was like, yeah, that'll probably do me. So I would go to the comic book store, nice. Buy a bunch of comics, get the peanut butter, and then sit outside of his building until 5 hours were up reading comics. And I would go up there and bring him his weird peanut butter.
Wow.
David Schramm, guys, Roy from Wings. Anyone under the age of 30 has no idea what we're talking about.
I'm 30, so I'm hitting that mark right.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Do you know the TV show Wings?
Of course, yeah.
Great, great show. Honestly, great show.
Antonio, best part of the show. There, I said it.
Yeah. Wait, what did you say?
Wait, what?
Antonio. Tony Shalhoub, best part of the show.
Yeah, Antonio Scarpacci, the vaguely Italian.
Pete, you got so offended.
Well, I mean, I really loved Sandman on that.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah,
it's... there's too much to go into there. Let's move on. You should see Sideways. It's a great Sandman wine movie.
I have seen Sideways.
It is
great.
It's great. Yeah, I didn't know he had that side to him.
Paul Giamatti's amazing.
He knows what a digestif is. Let's move on and talk about my favorite book of the week. We Stand on Guard, number one, by Mr. Brian K. Vaughan. Very fun book. There's a character in here named LePage. That alone should have really lit you up.
Lit me up, yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did you like that?
I thought it was cool. I mean, in Canada, they're, you know, LePage is a popular name. So
was you popular?
Yeah.
Okay.
How popular?
Yeah, what do you mean popular? Like, people are like, I want my name to be that.
No, like, you know, Scotch tape here in America.
Scotch tape?
Is LePage tape in Canada.
So the name is as popular as the name Scotch.
Right, exactly. Scotch is a very popular name.
I
don't know if that's true.
That's not actually very inaccurate.
I almost said the name Tom Scotch, and I realized that was the coolest name I've ever heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I still don't know what you mean. Do they not have tape up there? Or what's the deal?
They have tape, but it's called LePage tape. It's clear. It's good?
No, I know what Scotch tape is. It's just great. You're speaking nonsense. In this comic...
I know, that must be weird for you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm usually the one that doesn't make enough as much sense. So in this comic, we have... there's an attack. It takes place set in Canada. Where there's an attack, an aggressive attack the U.S. makes on Canada. And then we flash forward into the future. A lot of people die. Flash forward into the future. A group of Canadian freedom fighters are battling giant U.S. robots. We follow this one female character. She's very awesome.
Can we talk about the art real quick?
I mean, yeah.
The first panel where you have this little kid looking, and it looks like she's a giant looking down the White House that's burning. And it's like such an amazing panel.
Yeah. I mean, the artist, Steve Scroce, is doing the art in this, and he's great.
We couldn't figure out how
Scroce was the first one we said, but we weren't sure exactly how it was pronounced.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I took a swing. Well, I'm often wrong.
Oh, okay.
How'd you feel about this, Sean?
I really liked it. I thought that it was a very interesting premise. And like you were saying, the thing that really blew me away more, I mean, the writing, obviously, Brian K. Vaughan is fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
But the art was so detailed and amazing. And it was kind of unlike anything I'd seen in a while.
He has sort of a Mobius vibe to him.
Yeah, very, very much so. And especially to make, and it's weird to say this, but like once you get past the prologue and then get to the actual action, it's all just set in the woods. But he still makes it very visually interesting.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah. And it sort of plays both with, plays like a Garth Ennis comic almost, which is sort of what you wouldn't quite expect that from Brian K. Vaughan, but it's just very good.
Well, what I thought was very interesting was the fact of how stupid the Warriors were in this. Like, if you destroy a droid and then think, oh, we're safe, let's hang out in the same location, nothing as bad is going to happen, and then a giant robot just rolls up on you. Like, what are you fucking thinking?
Well, I mean, first off, their biggest mistake is having a man named LePage in their group.
Yeah,
if you're
he's so mad in the comics.
He's so mad.
What? I mean, that name is so popular.
Shut the fuck up, because if you're going to have a group of vigilantes out in the woods somewhere, the first person you get is a guy named LePage, all right?
Okay, give me one reason. So far you have it's a tape as backing up the name of LePage.
No.
It's a type of tape.
If you have the last name LePage, there is a rage that boils underneath.
You think this is like a genetic rage?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
I was genetically made to be
as
angry.
Were we all. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I feel like you're going to want that guy on your team.
Well, in this, the character named LePage in this comic is, ironically speaks French, which we're having a trouble with earlier today.
Right. So he's more Canadian than I am. What the fuck?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the name is French Canadian. I am clearly not.
Is your family from Canada?
Its origin is yes.
Ah, nice.
Oh, so you'd been in America for a while. Your family, I mean, and you personally.
My side of the family, yes.
Okay.
Ran away?
It's a whole thing. What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to get into it.
It's a whole thing? Oh, sorry. Yeah, the dark family crest of the LePage family.
Well, are you not allowed to go back?
You're so cocky a minute ago. You're like, we're the tape up there. And then now you're like, you don't have to talk about it.
Well, it's a fucking, I mean, oh, fuck you. All right, so this is a whole fucking thing.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about it right now. It's all right.
Just say a quick version.
Okay, great. So you're going to be real happy I shared this. So my father's father murdered his wife.
What?
Why? You didn't have to say
and
this.
And then was adopted by the LePage family. My father and his sister were orphans for a long time, and then Mrs. LePage... Grandma LePage took them in and raised them as their own.
Jeez.
Don't fucking poke the fucking monster.
I don't know
if you don't
what
want
it is.
Fucking...
I don't know what it is.
I'll be honest, that was not what I was expecting at all.
Me neither. I thought you were going to be like, oh, yeah, we stole a horse and had to leave them Canada.
That's actually what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Horse.
Really? Horses? A lot of horses up there. People would steal them all the time. Well, as always, we end the stack with a dark look at one of our histories. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Pete. This episode is rated R. Let's move on to our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
For that, I'm going to... It's party time. For that, I'm going to come out. If you have a question, it can be any sort of question. Please raise your hand. It can be about math, science, art, any of those social studies. You, sir, do you have a question?
Hi, my name is Enrique. I want to ask a question to the three of you. Let's say you have to write like a new The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comic, and you have to choose a character from the last 15 years, but no comic book characters, no Marvel, no DC. Any pop culture characters.
So any pop, oh sorry, any pop culture character into The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And you said of the last 15 years?
Yeah, let's say 15 years.
Great. That's a tough question. Leave, so you have the regular members. What from non-comic book pop culture would we like to introduce into The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Oh, man, that is a great question.
So that means you had to be reading books?
I'm out already.
Hey, let me throw some titles out there that are probably The Hunger Games.
Sure,
maybe you like
sure.
some of those.
Yeah.
Maybe you like a Harry Potter.
Sure.
You like a...
I would go with the gray wizard / white wizard from Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I would love to...
Wait, 15 or 50 years?
He said 15. Pete, that was a book first before it was a movie.
Right. Can't choose that one?
Well, you can do whatever you
just
want.
I feel like a young badass Gandalf would be a fucking cool comic.
That's true. Oh, and a cool addition to the comic. Yeah, I think that's cool.
I also have had movies about both of them, but I think like a spy in the mold of like a Jason Bourne or a Jack Ryan's okay, but like that kind of character in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen would be.
That's great. Yeah, Jack Ryan was more just mad a lot.
Yeah, it's also
that
to be
was
like
his power.
Yeah, here's our cool team analyst.
Yeah. And Jason Bourne's power was not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, but just being able to beat everyone up and go, I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, right. I could take down all of you in this diner if I wanted to. That's cool. So it's sort of a more gunplay element there.
Yeah, I will also say that my first thought, because many of the books that I read are like biographies or like historical books. So I've read like... Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln. And then I was like, God, how fucking awesome would Abraham Lincoln be in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
You know, that's he would fit in more, I feel like. He could, though his power would be like really telling it like it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like awesome honesty.
Or just telling like a really long-winded story.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How about the Abe Lincoln from Adventure Time who rules Mars for a while?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be cool. So for my answer, I don't know, someone like John Stewart, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
He would pop into the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Really get in there. Tell him what's up.
John Stewart? Like from The Daily Show?
Yeah. He needs a job. Yeah, you got question marks on it? We all do. That's what being alive is all about. He needs a new job, and he's a pretty extraordinary gentleman.
He is an extraordinary gentleman.
You know, when you say it like that, there's a lot of people I think could be like, oh, they're quite an extraordinary gentleman.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You just need a bunch of them. Form a league.
And I think open it up to women.
Sure, yeah. For God's sakes. League of Extraordinary People.
Gentle people.
Oh, I like that.
Ladies and gentle people. Great. Who else has a question? You're going to get some free comics. And another question. You, sir. Someone has a question, right? Yeah, come on. Quit hedging your bets, Rolando.
Hey, it's Rolando. Good.
Hey. Hi, Rolando.
I know you said that. Hey.
Cool.
Okay, cool. So here's my question. What is the last comic that you read that made you think, like, this shit right here is why I read comics? Or, if you want to take it the other direction, the last comic you read that made you think, like, this is shit, I never want to read comics again.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that's a great question.
That's tough. So we're talking about the apex and the nadir, the high and the low. What do you think, guys? What comic is bringing you back home?
There's a ton of comics that I read that make me feel like I haven't wasted my life. But I feel like,
whoa, yikes.
The Chew number 50 definitely did that recently.
Nice. Hey, you seem jubilant, and you just read that. So
yeah, I was so happy. I mean, Southern Bastards is unbelievable. Everything that Image is kind of putting out really is creative and fantastic. On the flip side, when I just feel like, when you're, you know, I mean, there's obviously the stuff that I always get angry about, you know, Frank and Castle.
Yeah, if
know,
anything,
Spider-Man,
I think you need to expand your anger horizons.
Yeah, yeah. Is
Is there something new you're angry at? The people are wondering.
Yeah, I mean, no. Have my go-to rage. Yeah, but I feel like there is something frustrating about like when you have an investment or energy and time into something like that, and then they make you they make a choice for pushing a character forward or doing something that for you pulls you out of something that can really be frustrating as somebody who holds comics dear. So it's like, it is. It's that double-edged sword of like sometimes you read a comic and you set it down and you're like, that was so awesome. And it like built up for years or whatever. And then sometimes it's like, why would you do that to me? You know?
To you specifically?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's very personal when you're reading comics just because you feel like you're living the adventure with that person.
Now, do you feel like the characters are talking to you or that you're observing?
Observing, yeah. I'm rolling with the team.
But you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That makes a lot more sense why you feel the way you do a lot.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm like watching like a TV show.
Okay. But they don't talk to you directly. They're not like,
no.
Really?
Maybe I'm more of a voyeur and you're more of a like
Yeah, try to sum me up. Go ahead.
It's difficult given all the things you say on a regular basis, but maybe you're caught up in it like someone who believes the false reality. Oh, like a psychopath.
Psychopath, yeah, yeah. So I knew you were going to say psychopath.
I know. I'm officially diagnosing you. Most of this crowd are psychologists, and there's a
That'd
patty
be quite
wagon.
An intervention.
Pete, this whole episode is actually just an intervention. We wanted to talk to
you. Ironically, this intervention wants you to drink more.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Take a reverse.
Good idea. I'll take a sip on that.
Sean, what do you think? Comic that has really refreshed your love of the craft and one that has made you peh.
So personally, I find the comics that I always really like are, it sounds weird to say, but like ones that really walk the line in tone that are simultaneously very like fun and enjoyable, but also seemingly have some kind of real consequence, whether even if it's just an emotional consequence. Like two of the ones that I read on a regular basis are Daredevil, Mark Waid's Daredevil, but
very
also
good.
Scott Snyder's Batman. I found like. Very, it has this very like light tone to it at times, but also obviously
it elevates the form.
Exactly. Ones that I don't like are ones that kind of do the opposite, if that sounds weird, but like that are either so self-serious. I mean, like some are very serious and have like the right tone, but some are overly serious for given the material, and I'm like, all right, get over it. Or ones that don't have any consequence. Ones that feel very light. It's not even like I don't like them necessarily. It's just I'm like, why am I reading this? This is fine.
Yeah. Do you have an example? I know you. Maybe. We
oh
don't
God,
maybe.
I really don't. You know,
you don't have it. Well, that's fine. If you are playing Alex Zalbin,
so okay. If I'm gonna really get into it, I found myself reading Rocket Raccoon, and I love the art. I thought Scotty Young's art was fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But having read it a lot, I was just like, after a while, I was like. Are there any kind of, like, lasting consequence? Like, and I found myself just not caring to continue reading it. Not that I hated it.
Right.
But I was just like, I'm done with not... I'm fine with not reading this anymore.
Interesting. I feel like the comics that I read that really stick with me a lot, as just being very original and, like, really great stories, Copperhead right now is very good. I feel like Saga is something that I think of a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Saga stays with you, man.
It stays with you. It's great yeah. Emotional impact, original ideas, that
the
kind
artwork
of
takes you to a magical place.
Takes you to a magical
Saga
place.
Saga, honestly, is one of the ones I will put down and then just be like, I just need a minute. I just have to have a
second. Yeah, exactly. But I do that, too, and I want to keep the I want to still look at the comic, but I need a minute to not read it. It's like, I just need a minute. I want to be with you, but I just need a minute to think about you, to look on
that's
you.
That's quite an intimate relationship you have with comics.
Hey, man, that's me. I'm a lover, and it comes to everything. The comics that really put me off are the quality they all have is, like, I feel like the writing's lazy. I feel like the art, if the art isn't to my taste, I'm like, okay, that's just, it's still telling the story, it's still doing its job, but lazy writing kills me. The two that come to mind, Convergence, I was like, what is this? The narrative was nonsense. Yeah. I was very frustrated reading it because I wanted it. I was like, I'm giving this a try. Everyone's been so negative. I want it to, there's got to be something propelling this story. And I read, I think, 5 issues, and I was like, I don't think there is. but the other thing, this may be controversial, is some of the Last Will and Testament of Charles Xavier arc that Bendis did, I was like, this is a trick on us. This is fooling us. There's no narrative drive to this. It's just like a bunch of people hanging out. And I was like, I hang out with people. I don't need to read about it.
Where's that comic?
Yeah, where's I should be. No, I wasn't thinking that. I was just like, where's... Give me something here. Right. I feel like he was coasting while he was like doing Powers promotional tour.
Here's the thing is that I really like Bendis at times, but sometimes I'm like, maybe it's just because he's writing so many.
I usually like him because his ability to give a character's original voices is so good.
Right.
That's why in that arc especially, I was like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Yeah, I rarely don't like Bendis. I think he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Rolando, get some comics. I think we have time for 2 more questions. You, sir.
Hello. I'm Batman.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Wish Alex was here.
Well, I'll have to do.
Wait, because Alex likes Batman?
Sorry, if you say, I wish Alex was here, your question is canceled.
No, he often imitates Batman, so. Okay. In his own unique
way. Okay.
It's
acceptable.
Batman's already better than his.
Thank you. I noticed that you have a Daredevil shirt.
Yes, that is correct.
And this is my segue to this question for all of you. Have any of you been mistaken for an actual character? Say, pop culture, comics, movies?
Yeah. Great question. Have any of us been mistaken? I'd be amazed if someone was like, hey, man, are you Superman?
Well, you're really pushing it earlier with the whole jeans and t-shirt talk.
I know, right? For God's sakes, right out of the comic. What do you say? Who do you get? Who are you often compared to? People are like, who you look like?
You get stuff all the time.
Yeah, but I'm asking who you get.
I don't get anybody.
You don't get no one? No one says, like, you know who you look like?
Pete, I do always, I've said to you before that you remind me of the Hulk. You're just this very, like, mild-mannered guy, and then you can just explode. And,
yeah.
And but it's like a righteous anger.
No, but I feel like it is, just like the Hulk's. I feel like, you know, we all perform. Like, don't people ever say to you, you know who you remind me of? Whoever, performer, another actor, movie star.
No, I never get that.
You never get anything?
No, I mean, when I was younger and first started doing stand-up, I had a shaved head and I still had a goatee. And people were like, you look like Jason Kidd.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go. That's a great answer. That's a surprising answer.
Yeah.
Great, Sean.
So this is going to sound like I'm saying this because I'm wearing the shirt, but I have had people who have since watched the Netflix series say, you look kind of like Charlie Cox, mostly because our hair is very similar.
Yeah, you guys do have similar hair.
And that's probably the most recent version. Yep.
So I like how now you're dressing up,
wearing
the Daredevil
again,
t-shirt.
Again, I'm getting lasers shot into my eye.
Yeah,
so I can look.
Look like that
next time you do the show, you're going to show up in like red pants, and you're going to be like, no, this is just what I'm wearing.
Just what I'm wearing today.
Yeah. Cool.
But I'm going to wear a suit over it.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. I often get the character Ferris Bueller from Ferris Bueller's
Day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people don't even say Matthew Broderick. They just say Ferris Bueller. Yeah. Also, Matt LeBlanc from Friends. Joey from Friends. I get that a lot.
Joey?
Thank you. Joey, yeah.
No.
It's more
honestly,
of a...
I think it's more in like mannerisms and general attitude.
I was going to say, like, and no offense to Matthew Broderick. I'm sure he's a devout listener. But I think by saying Ferris Bueller, it's more of a compliment than saying Matthew Broderick.
Oh, definitely. Because Matthew Broderick has literally fallen apart and as he ages. He's like mostly bones now.
He's become like a turtle man.
Yeah, he's like, it's confusing to watch him. People, I take it as a compliment when they say Ferris Bueller.
Hey, you get old, man. You see what happens, all right?
No, I'm never going to. Wife says I look like John Travolta. Let's move on. We're going to get some free comments.
Yeah, Trouble in Paradise.
You, sir, in the back, do you have a question for us? Please, would you mind coming on down?
My name is James Robinson, comic book creator. And,
That
sounds like bullshit. No, it's, I'm working on my American
I don't think that's true.
I'm taking the piss, as we say across the pond. And I was listening to last week's episode, like I always listen to your podcast.
And I noticed
that you did Starman trivia, Pete, so I want to thank you for that.
Nice.
And I noticed that Justin tried to correct you.
He tried to make a big deal out of it.
Oh, no.
Because he said that actually there was a zero issue and it came first, but what he forgot was that 0 hour actually counted down.
It counted backwards.
You were correct about Starman.
Whoa!
And Justin was wrong. So I was wondering, my question is, Pete, could I present you with an award?
Oh, wow.
This is exciting.
This is a special shield for you, Pete. It says number one Starman fan.
Yeah, look at that.
Look how happy you just made it.
Dude, suck it.
Justin, I didn't want you to feel bad, so as a consolation prize, I got you this number zero.
Starman number zero fan. Aware of pride.
It's beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, James. It's always a pleasure when we get an author coming down to correct us live on stage.
Here, let me give you some comics.
Pete, well, while you're off mic, let me tell you what I had thought. I was thinking of Starman, the comic itself started with number zero, and that's what I was thinking, which I was trying to correct
you. Fuck you, you were wrong.
Okay, great. That's all the time we have for audience questions.
Yeah.
Now we're going
to... I would like to quickly... We have a friend visiting from Peru. He is a longtime fan. He's visiting New York. Came to Comic Club... all the way from
Thank
Peru.
You so much
cool.
for coming.
It's pretty cool.
Came all the way up to see the show. What a great journey. Listening to episodes on the way. Very quickly, we're going to turn it over to the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
A couple of things to talk about very briefly. Did you guys hear all this Ant-Man spoiler stuff that was going around?
Mm-mm.
How about you guys? You good? Are you all right? We're going to talk about it very briefly.
Some of it. Sure.
So there's a Spanish language trailer for the movie came out, and it had a couple of frames of a character that we didn't know was already going to be in the movie, and it's Falcon is going to be in the Ant-Man movie.
Oh, shit.
That didn't surprise me, though, because I thought it was very cool, and I was glad to see his new costume getting some more action, because I like the new addition of red, but... I knew, or I'd read whatever, that Ant-Man was in Civil War, so I was like, oh, they got to have something tying him to the Avengers, so I guess this will be that?
A lot of rumors that we're going to see Spider-Man in some post-credit scenes.
Oh, man. Don't excite me too much.
Now I got to go see the movie.
You weren't going to see it?
You weren't going to see Ant-Man before?
Well, Ant-Man's not one of my favorites.
You were going to see it, though.
I mean, yeah, I have to see it, but it's...
Pete, we all know not seeing movies is my thing, so get your own thing.
Yeah, it's true, you don't see movies. But I'm the number one Starman fan, so I have that going for me.
Oh, man. Hey, thanks again, audience member, because that's going to enter his fucking shrine over there. And I'm never going to not see it from now on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I should put that up.
Yeah, put it up there. Great.
Next to my Punisher stuff.
I feel like it's not that everyone flipped out about the Ant-Man spoiler. I was like, you were surprised that a Marvel Universe character appeared in another Marvel Universe movie? Like, relax.
And like, it's probably good. Like, it's a post-credits or make. Because they
no, both... wait, I think he's in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And that's what everyone was mad about.
Oh,
he might have a little more screen time than. It's like more than a cameo.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys worried about this movie at all?
No.
What do you mean, worried?
Well, I feel like because they've had director issues and the casting issues, that I'm wondering if this is going to be the Marvel movie that doesn't dominate the box office.
People say that about everyone that comes out, and it might not dominate. There are too many movies this summer. We can all agree with that. Check out Terminator Genesis if you think that there aren't.
It's weird. So I was in a conversation with my friend the other day. A mutual friend of ours, Mr. Tim Levine.
Yep.
We were talking about the worldwide box office of the past Marvel movies, and we were looking them up, and we realized that, like, after Avengers, they've all made a ton of money. So, like, Captain America and the first Thor made something like $300, $400 million. And then after that, they all started making, even, like, the lower, like, the ones that do okay were, like, $700-something million.
Yeah.
So I think just by having that name there and by having Paul Rudd and, Michael Douglas and all that.
I mean, like, everyone around the world are a bunch of Rudd heads.
Oh, my God. Everyone loves – who doesn't like Paul Rudd,
Russia's
right?
crazy for Rudd. Communist
Rudsha?
The Rudd scare.
I mean, but that's the thing. Like, Rudd fans Rudd and Marvel fans, I don't know if that's really a crossover.
Hey, that's new fans right there.
Yeah. I think it'll do just fine.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to carry on. The thing is, they do such a good job of fixing mistakes in their movies, even if they had a hard time. I think it's going to be all right.
All right.
A couple other things real quick. Dark Horse announced that they have a TV deal, and we may be seeing Umbrella Academy and Concrete TV shows for that.
Concrete coming was up one soon. Of my favorites. That was an amazing comic.
I know. I love both of those properties. They announced a couple more maybe going for movies, but I thought those two especially were exciting.
How can
to
you
see.
Do Umbrella Academy, though? I mean, that's...
Just a bunch of people.
Yeah, well, obviously, but I mean, the art
you
was
just,
so...
You write a
the
script,
art was so
you
unique.
Hire a director.
And
what,
so,
you need,
I mean,
need
the
a
art
camera?
Was such a part of it, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, they couldn't probably, they're not going to get that style, but I think there's a way to bring that aesthetic into the film world.
Okay.
Great. We'll see. I'm glad we solved that problem. put P at ease. And finally, it announced a James Bond ongoing series written by Warren Ellis. Yeah, people seem pretty psyched about it.
Who's doing the art, did they say?
Did not see that. Jason Masters? Okay. Nice.
Warren Ellis is writing. That's going to be badass.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Warren Ellis, when he did, I thought his Moon Knight was great.
I feel like that could be considered a nice style choice.
An insane James Bond.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then when he did his, short run on Uncanny Avengers, that was also so spy-oriented that I could easily see why I'd be like, yep, that would make sense.
Didn't he also do Gravel? Wasn't that Warren Ellis?
Yeah, I think so. That was a while ago.
And that was also kind of, I mean, it's a magician, but it was badass and had a lot of action, so I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and who knew that James Bond was had such an active fan base here? And finally, of course, there is San Diego. We're not going, so who cares? Let's move on and talk to you about trivia from Mr. Pete LePage.
All right. Zelvin's in San Diego. That's why he isn't here.
He's flying there right tomorrow morning, maybe. I don't know.
No, he's flying there now. Okay. So it's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free, simple raising. Yes, you.
$23.
First hand up, guy.
Yeah.
Captain Peru, come on up, man.
Dr. Peru. Here you are, sir.
Oh, that's nice of you. What is your name, sir?
My name is Enrique.
Enrique, audience Enrique. All right, how this is going to work, I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you will be $25 richer.
Right.
In the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because...
I would spend it in comics anyway.
All right. Yeah, exactly. See, this guy knows. This guy knows. All right. Question... Today's character spotlight is Manhunter from DC Comics, one of my favorites. Question number one. How many Manhunters have there been before the latest one? Is the correct answer A, number 7, B, 8... Or is it C, Shia LaBeouf? So it's either 7, which is A, or B, which is 8. And B is incorrect. So which one do you think it is? Is it A or is it B?
Is it A?
A is correct. There were 7. The latest version is number 8. And I think the best one. What is Manhunter's real name? Is it A, Kate Spencer? B, Jim Spencer? Or is it C, Spencer's Gifts? So it's either A, which is correct, or it's B, Jim.
I think it's A.
A is correct. You are killing it.
Crushing it.
Oh, my God. One last one, all right? Don't blow it now. What team has Manhunter been associated with? Is it A, Justice League, B, Birds of Prey, or is it C, Nuns with Guns? So it's either A, Justice League, or it's B, Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
Yeah! $25. Congratulations. Here, I'll take that. There you go. There you go. Congrats.
Thank you so much, Enrique. Congratulations. I would spend that before you leave town, because I don't know if there's a Midtown Comics in Peru. So definitely get up there while you can. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Yep.
And we recommend you go to Midtown Comics, especially you, Enrique, because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
That's right.
What are we looking forward to, Pete?
I'm looking forward to Big Man Plans number 4.
Ah, tell us about this book.
Well, it's a short, angry guy, so immediately I relate.
That's who you remind me of.
Yeah.
And Jason Kidd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I'm not wearing glasses.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Which you have to wear glasses and not sunglasses.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love this. It's about a short guy who's just sick of people's shit and decides, you know what? Today's the day I make a difference in the world.
Great. Nice. It's practically an autobiography. I'm looking forward to rereading all of the Starman comic, obviously. I need a refresher. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I'm looking forward to Archie number one. Got to give it up to Archie number one. Mark Waid.
Oh, yeah, Mark Waid.
It's
okay,
a reboot of the Archie world. Very excited to check it out. Who knows what's going to happen? It's number one. But I bet there's going to be some malted milkshakes drank at some point. What do you say, Sean?
So I almost picked Archie just because, again, Mark Waid and Fiona Staples.
Oh, yeah, of course. I forgot to say Fiona Staples on ours.
Can't
so good.
Oh. But
that's
the other
be
one,
a different looking Archie, that's for sure.
I know.
Yeah.
It's set in space. The other the other book I'm looking forward to is Amazing Spider-Man 2, Renew Your Vows.
Ah, nice.
Because I will say that Spider-Man...
Tell us about this book.
Despite wearing a Daredevil shirt, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. I'm saying.
And how are you feeling with all the recent stuff that they've done to him?
The spy stuff that's coming out soon? That's what you mean about him like being a world traveler?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about then.
I think he's talking about the Renew Your Vows.
Oh, this stuff. That's great. So it's very interesting because I grew up with a married Spider-Man. And I know that the creators were like, well, we want to take him back to being single. Obviously, with the much maligned storyline that it was really stupid. And so for me, though, I would always picture him being single or being married, excuse me. So to see that kind of progression or not even progression, I guess, regression back to that character makes me very happy to see. And I always love the Kubrick-san art.
Did you read the first one?
I did.
And you think it was all right that he sacrificed being Spider-Man for his family?
He's got a kid,
big,
man.
It's a big sacrifice.
It is. I'm interested to see where it goes because the
can
whole thing about with great power comes
comic,
great responsibility.
Right, but can the Spider-Man comic just be Peter Parker changing diapers and like going to work?
But as Justin pointed out earlier, just because that was the last page of that issue does not mean that he will not be Spider-Man.
What are the last pages for?
Continuing to the next comic, which will inevitably continue the story.
Oh, my God.
Unless the world ends. What bothers me about all that is they were like, Spider-Man's got to be single. It's the only way people do it. And then none of it is about him dating.
Yeah. No.
None of the rest of Dan Slott's run.
Yeah, that whole choice you guys made to push Spider-Man so he could be single and you didn't do anything with it is very upsetting.
Yeah, you want him to get around.
No, well, if you're gonna make me angry, at least to have the payoff of... Well, maybe this is better, but you don't even try to do that.
You want to see him dating and stop being Spider-Man.
No, what?
You're going to love Archie.
What the fuck are you doing?
Archie's like Spider-Man who just dates. You're going to love it.
Oh, my God. That's true.
I don't want to blow anybody's mind. And on that note, guys, that's the show.
Yeah.
Before we go, though, Sean, plug some stuff.
So, check out The Duke at the People's Improv Theater. And check out We Love TV on Twitter at We Love TV Show. Or... just check out me on Twitter at Sean_Reedy.
Nice. And Pete, tell us what we need to say.
Well, I did want to plug. I got a new comic strip coming out finally. So, he had mentioned Tim Levine, who is the amazing artist who works with me. So I'll post a new comic strip up on Twitter tonight.
On your Twitter page? So
yep.
What's that?
It's at Real Pete LePage.
Nice. And what do you normally have to say?
Friend us on Facebook so we get to know about all the amazing guests you have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. A couple people want to thank Sean for doing the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank Midtown Comics for sponsoring our show. All of our interns who help make the show possible. And, of course, Fontana's. Please come down here. We do the show every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here. Yeah. But most of all, we want to thank you guys, our lovely audience. Join this great group of people. Come see us. Thank you so much. Good night, guys.
Good night. Thanks, everybody.
say we're running a little bit hot tonight. I can barely see the road from the heat coming on. Reach down between my legs. Ease the seat back.